Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Bevan Slattery, Chairman of your company, Superloop. Thank you for joining us at the 2021 Annual General Meeting of the company. I'm looking forward to engaging with you during the course of today's meeting. It is now 12:00 P.M. Brisbane time, the nominated time for this AGM. I've been advised by our company secretary that a quorum is present, and so I'm pleased to declare our 2021 AGM open. The meeting is being held in a fully virtual format due to circumstances arising from the COVID-19 pandemic, including government restrictions on gathering. We hope that holding a virtual meeting will assist in keeping everyone safe and encourage greater participation and engagement among our shareholders. I'd now like to introduce my fellow directors who are joining us today from various locations. From Sydney, Paul Tyler, Executive Director and Chief Executive Officer. Drew Kelton, Non-Executive Director. Vin Stewart, Non-Executive Director, and Stephanie Lai, Non-Executive Director. From Adelaide via teleconference, Tony Clark, Non-Executive Director. Also joining us today is our incoming chair as an observer, Luke Oxenham, our Chief Financial Officer, Tina Ooi, our General Counsel and Company Secretary, and Ronnie Lake, the Head of Risk and Joint Company Secretary. Also in attendance is Tanu Mukunzi, representing our auditors, Deloitte Tohmatsu and Derek Pocock, and Adrian De Bruin from Baker McKenzie, our external legal counsel. Tanu is available to take questions on the conduct of the audit and the preparation and conduct of the independent external auditor's report. Today, I'll provide a brief chair address, followed by the procedural matters of the meeting. After the meeting is closed, Paul Tyler, our Executive Director and Chief Executive Officer, will provide a trading update. Right now, I'm pleased to present my chair's address. Ladies and gentlemen, sadly for me, today will be my last meeting as director and chair of the board. I will touch on my personal decision to step down at the end of my remarks. As chair, my role on behalf of the board is to listen to you as the owners of our company, share an update on the progress, and to do my best to respond to questions and comments. I refer all shareholders to the company's 2021 annual report, which is released to shareholders on the 20th of September 2021. This included a letter to shareholders from me, as well as extensive information about our company and its operations. The Superloop financial year 2021 has been a transformational year in which we've achieved a number of key strategic milestones and laid the foundation for accelerated growth in the future. While not quite within the financial year FY 2021, the completion of the Exetel acquisition and recently announced disposal of Hong Kong and certain Singapore assets will further serve to simplify the business and sharpen management's focus on continuing momentum in three customer segments: consumer, business, and wholesale. In addition to the significant progress that has been made on the strategic front, the business has delivered on the financial front. Paul Tyler, our CEO, will expand on this in his remarks, but in FY 2021, we've experienced strong performance on all metrics, meeting market guidance and almost doubling underlying EBITDA. In FY 2021, we've also served to deepen the management bench and reinvigorating the leadership team by adding more than 100 years of industry experience to the organization over the last 12 months. While the COVID-19 pandemic has contributed to ongoing business uncertainty, Superloop has continued to focus on supporting our people and our customers as they work from home and support their families with children learning remotely. Network demand during periods of the lockdown has been amplified, and we're proud of our record in delivering uninterrupted services to our customers at our promised high standard. Financial year 2022 has started strongly. Looking ahead, the group continue to focus on its accelerated growth strategy. This will be delivered by investing in markets of scale where we can leverage our assets and competitive advantage to gain market share, and where appropriate, evaluating further inorganic opportunities that fit within our disciplined investment approach. As I mentioned in my opening remarks, this will be my last AGM, Superloop AGM, as director and chair of the company. Having the opportunity to pick and when you take a step back from a business you've founded is always an important decision. As was the case with previous listed companies I've led, I don't think I've been more sure than I am now that now is the right time. Since stepping in as chair from the beginning of the pandemic in March 2020, we've removed significant costs from the business, brought in new leadership, reinvigorated the management team, recapitalized the business, delivered on guidance in 2 years in a row, and delivered transformational change through acquisition of Exetel and recently announced disposal of the Hong Kong and Singapore assets. As shareholders are aware, Peter O'Connell will replace me on the board as chair. I'm delighted that Peter has agreed to join the board at this juncture of Superloop's journey. He'll play a pivotal role in guiding management through the next exciting growth phase. Peter will bring invaluable experience and insight into Superloop's ambitions around delivering digital-first services on the infrastructure we have built that delivers connectivity to consumer, business, and wholesale customers. In particular, its experience in the consumer telco space provides tremendous balance to the board's existing wealth and experience in the business and wholesale markets. In closing, and on behalf of the board, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Paul Tyler and the entire Superloop team for their commitment, professionalism and diligence this watershed year for Superloop. I'd also like to thank my fellow directors and their counsel and support during my time leading the board. Finally, I'd also like to thank our shareholders for their patience and support over the past 2 years. As a significant shareholder myself, I'm incredibly excited about the future of Superloop and look forward to our company delivering on its growth ambitions in the coming years. So before we move to the formal meetings of business, I will now summarise the shareholder questions and voting procedures which will apply to this meeting. As set out in the notice of the meeting, there are 8 resolutions to be considered today. The resolutions have been outlined and explained in the explanatory memorandum that was included in the notice of meeting. Each resolution will be put to the meeting. Shareholder questions which are submitted online which are relevant to the resolution will be read up by Ronnie Lake, our Joint Company Secretary, and addressed by me and Paul Tyler. I'll then advise the number of proxy votes received on each resolution before moving to the next item of business. Any questions that come through relating to the general business of the company will be noted and addressed after the formal proceedings have been dealt with and the meeting's closed. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you that only shareholders, their appointed proxies or corporate representatives of shareholders are entitled to make comments, ask questions or vote. Instructions on how to lodge a question online are set out on the screen. There is also an online guide that is available via the link at the bottom of your screen. This guide is also available on the AGM page of our Investor Relations website. I encourage shareholders who have questions to submit their questions as soon as possible. As I said earlier, our Joint Company Secretary, Ronnie Lake, will read out the questions that are submitted online at the appropriate time. This year, shareholders are also able to ask their questions orally through the questions and comment facility. Shareholders are required to call 1-800-990-363 to obtain the unique PIN before calling the question and comment facility today. For further guidance, please refer to the last page of the online guide. Press star 1 on your keyboard at the item of business to which your question or comment relates to. The phone operator will introduce and prompt you to speak at the appropriate time. All questions should be directed to myself as chair of the meeting, and I'll then invite other director and or relevant persons to respond as appropriate. We'll address questions received from shareholders participating on the questions and comments facility first before going through the questions received through the virtual meeting platform. The proxy votes already received are contained in our presentation today and will be displayed on screen at the appropriate time. All resolutions we've put to the meeting today will be determined by a poll. All undirected proxies will be voted by myself in favour of the resolution to the extent that I'm permitted to do so. You may submit your votes at any time using your online voting card. For assistance with voting, please refer to the instructions that are on screen now. There is also a guide available via the link at the bottom of your screen, and again, that guide is available on the AGM page of our Investor Relations website. Each resolution set out in the notice of the meeting is to be considered as an ordinary resolution and as such must be approved by a simple majority of votes cast by shareholders entitled to vote and voting on that resolution. The only exceptions are Resolution 3 and 8, which are special resolutions and will need to be approved by 75% of the votes cast by shareholders entitled to vote and voting on the resolution. Shareholders can submit their votes online until 5 minutes after the meeting closes. Once the voting is closed, our share registry provider will tabulate the results, which will be released as soon as possible today on the Australian Securities Exchange. Those results will also be displayed on our company website once available. The notice of meeting and explanatory memorandum have been released to the ASX and published on our website on the 20th of September 2021. It sets out the details of each resolution to be considered at today's meeting. If there are no objections, I ask that the notice of meeting be taken as read. Thank you. The first item of business is to receive and consider the company's financial report, the director's reports and the auditor's report for the year ended 30th of June 2021. There is no vote on this item of business. A copy of the statements and reports were published in the 2021 annual report and sent to those shareholders who requested hard copies. Shareholders have also had the opportunity to view statements and reports on our website. The purpose of this item of business is to provide an opportunity for shareholders to ask questions and make comments about the company's performance, operations and management. For those who may wish to make a comment or ask a question regarding remuneration, please bear in mind that we have a separate item of business in the remuneration report, which will follow next. I'll now invite questions or comments on the financial statements and reports. Questions may also be asked of the auditors about the conduct of the audit, the content of the audit report, accounting policies adopted by the company, and the independence of the auditor in carrying out the audit. Questions that have been submitted regarding other items of business will be held over until we come to those items, and general business of the business of the company will be addressed after the meeting closes. I now take questions from shareholders joining us on the phone. Are there any questions from shareholders joining us on the phone on this item of business?
Chair, there are no questions from shareholders participating via phone.
Okay, thank you. I'll now take questions from shareholders who have lodged their questions through the virtual meeting platform.
There are no questions from shareholders participating on the virtual meeting platform.
Okay, I'll just see if any are coming in. No? As there are no more questions, we'll now move to the formal resolutions. As a reminder, you can place your vote with respect to the resolutions before the meeting and at any time using your virtual voting card. Resolution 1, adoption of the remuneration report. Resolution 1 is to consider the adoption of the company's remuneration report for the financial year 30th June 2021. The remuneration report is set out in the director's report and Superloop's 2021 annual report, which is available on our website. Please note that the vote on this resolution is advisory only and does not bind the company or its directors. Voting exclusions apply to this resolution as set out in the notice of meeting. I now welcome questions with respect to the remuneration report. Are there any questions from shareholders joining us on the phone of this item of business?
Chair, there are no questions from shareholders participating via phone.
Thank you. Any questions from shareholders who have lodged their questions through the virtual meeting platform?
There are no questions from shareholders participating on the virtual meeting platform.
Okay. Pause for a moment or two. No more? Okay. As there are no further questions, the proxy votes received in relation to this resolution are now on screen. Votes for, 201,222,584. Votes open, 241,010. Votes against, 18,911,860. Votes abstaining, 2,152,281. We'll now proceed to Resolution 2, the re-election of Tony Clark. Resolution 2 relates to the re-election of Mr. Tony Clark as the Non-Executive Director of Superloop. Mr. Clark retires in accordance with Rule 19.3A of the Constitution and ASX Listing Rules 14.5 and, being eligible, stands for re-election as the Director. Details of Resolution 2 are set out in the Notice of Meeting, which will be taken as read. The Directors, with Mr. Clark abstaining, has recommended this resolution be approved by shareholders. I now welcome questions with respect to this item of business. Are there any questions from shareholders joining us on the phone on this item of business?
Chair, there are no questions from shareholders participating via phone.
Okay, I'll now take questions from shareholders who have lodged their questions through the virtual meeting platform.
There are no questions from shareholders participating on the virtual meeting platform.
Okay, I'll just pause for a moment to see if anything comes in. No more? Okay. As there are no further questions, proxy votes received in relation to this resolution are now on screen. Votes for, 173,954,098. Votes against, 265,911. Votes against, 47,372,715. Votes abstaining, 1,044,254. Resolution 3, approval of giving financial assistance. Resolution 3.6, approval that for the purpose of Section 260B(2) of the Corporations Act, shareholders approve the giving of financial assistance to Superloop by Exetel under or in connection with Superloop's acquisition of Exetel and all elements of that transaction and any other transactions that may constitute financial assistance in connection with Superloop's acquisition of Exetel as described in the Notice of Meeting. Details of Resolution 3 are set out in the Notice of Meeting, which have been taken to be read. Your directors unanimously recommend this resolution be approved by shareholders. I now welcome questions with respect to this item of business. Are there any questions from shareholders joining us on the phone from this item of business?
Chair, there are no questions from shareholders participating via phone.
Yeah, I'll now take questions from shareholders who have lodged their questions through the virtual meeting platform.
There are no questions from shareholders participating on the virtual meeting platform.
Now, I'll just pause for a moment or two to see if any questions come in. No? As there are no further questions, the proxy votes received in relation to this resolution are now on screen. Votes for, 220,649,640. Votes open, 273,437. Votes against, 661,720. Votes abstaining, 1,052,181. We'll now proceed to Resolution 4. Resolution 4, the ratification of previous issue of placement shares. Resolution 4 seeks approval for the purposes of ASX Listing Rule 7.4 and for all other purposes. Shareholders ratify the previous issue of 52,688,172 placement shares to sophisticated and professional investors on the terms and conditions set out in the Notice of Meeting. Further details of Resolution 4 are contained in the Notice of Meeting, which have been taken as read. Accordingly, we're requesting that shareholders ratify the company's previous issue of these shares made under ASX Listing Rule 7.1 by approving this resolution so that those shares will be deemed to have been issued by shareholder approval for the purpose of ASX Listing Rule 7.1 and will no longer be deducted from the company's 15% placement capacity. By replenishing the company's 15% placement capacity, the company will be provided with flexibility to issue further equity securities up to the limit during the applicable 12-month period. The directors unanimously recommend this resolution be approved by shareholders. I now welcome questions with respect to this item of business. Are there any questions from shareholders joining us on the phone on this item of business?
Chair, there are no questions from shareholders participating via phone.
Thank you. I'll now take questions from shareholders who have lodged their questions through the virtual meeting platform.
There are no questions from shareholders participating on the virtual meeting platform.
Okay. Just pause for a moment or two. Okay. As there are no further questions, the proxy votes received in relation to this resolution are now on screen. Votes for, 121,762,830. Votes open, 150,475. Votes against, 485,890. And votes abstaining, 79,919,636. We now proceed to Resolution 5. Ratification of previous issue of ex-top consideration shares. Resolution 5 seeks approval, and that for the purpose of ASX Listing Rule 7.4 and for all other purposes, shareholders ratify the previous issue of 9,900,990 ex-top consideration shares to the vendors of ex-top Proprietary Limited on the terms and conditions set out in the Notice of Meeting. Further details of Resolution 5 are contained in the Notice of Meeting, which we have taken as read. Accordingly, we are requesting that shareholders ratify the company's previous issue of these shares made under Listing Rule 7.1 by approving this resolution so that those shares will be deemed to have been issued with shareholder approval for the purpose of ASX Listing Rule 7.1 and will no longer be deducted from the company's 15% placement capacity. By replenishing the company's 15% placement capacity, the company will be provided with the flexibility to issue further equity securities up to that limit during the applicable 12-month period. The directors unanimously recommend this resolution be approved by shareholders, and I now welcome questions with respect to this item of business. Are there any questions from shareholders joining us on the phone of this item of business?
Chair, there are no questions from shareholders participating via phone.
Thank you. I'll now take questions from shareholders who have lodged their questions through the virtual meeting platform.
There are no questions from shareholders participating on the virtual meeting platform.
Okay. As there are no further questions, the proxy votes received in relation to this resolution are now on screen. Votes for, 218,820,110. Votes open, 267,865. Votes against, 536,052. Votes abstaining, 1,032,753. Resolution 6, approval of performance rights. Resolution 6 seeks approval that for the purpose of ASX Listing Rule 7.2, Exception 13, and for all other purposes, issues of equity securities under the performance right plan, the details of which are set out in the notice of the meeting, be approved as an exception to ASX Listing Rule 7.1. Further details of the performance rights plan and this resolution are contained in the notice of the meeting, which we have taken as read. The directors unanimously recommend this resolution be approved by shareholders. I now welcome questions with respect to this item of business. Are there any questions relating to this item of business on the phone?
Chair, there are no questions from shareholders participating via the phone.
I'll now take questions from shareholders who have lodged their questions to the virtual meeting platform. Is there any?
There are no questions from shareholders participating on the virtual meeting platform.
Okay. As there are no further questions, the proxy votes received in relation to this resolution are now on screen. Votes for, 219,297,374. Votes open, 265,914. Votes against, 1,876,131. Votes abstaining, 1,088,316. We'll now proceed to Resolution 7, Approval of Executive Option Plan. Resolution 7 seeks approval that, for the purpose of ASX Listing Rule 7.2, Exception 13, and for all other purposes, issues of equity securities under the Executive Option Plan, the details of which are set out in the Notice of Meeting, be approved as an exception to ASX Listing Rule 7.1. Further details of the Executive Option Plan and its resolution are contained in the Notice of Meeting, which we have taken as read. The directors unanimously recommend this resolution be approved by shareholders. I now welcome questions with respect to this item of business and ask if there are any questions from shareholders joining us on the phone on this item of business.
Chair, there are no questions from shareholders participating via phone.
Thank you. I'll now ask questions from shareholders who have lodged their questions through the virtual meeting platform.
There are no questions from shareholders participating on the virtual meeting platform.
Thank you. Is there no further questions? The proxy votes received in relation to the resolution are now on screen. Votes for, 201,753,411. Votes open, 265,014. Votes against, 19,390,094. Votes abstaining, 1,119,216. Resolution 8, Amendment Constitution. Resolution 8 seeks approval that for the purpose of Section 136(2) of the Corporations Act, and for all other purposes, Superloop's constitution be amended in the minutes and out the notice of meeting, effective on the day of which the resolution is passed. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic and ongoing challenges associated with it, it's proposed that the constitution be amended to permit Superloop to, subject to applicable laws, hold virtual meetings and distribute notices of meetings electronically in the future. Rule 2.5 of the constitution relating to restricted securities is also proposed to be amended to comply with the technical requirements of ASX Listing Rule 15.12, as introduced effective the 1st of December 2019. A detailed explanation on the proposed amendments to the Constitution is contained in the Notice of Meeting, which we have taken as read. The directors unanimously recommend this resolution be approved by shareholders. I now welcome questions with respect to this item of business and ask if there's any questions from shareholders joining us on the phone on this item of business.
Chair, there are no questions from shareholders participating via phone.
Okay, I'll now take questions from any shareholders who have lodged their questions through the virtual meeting platform.
There are no questions from shareholders participating on the virtual meeting platform.
Okay. There's no further questions. The proxy votes received in relation to this resolution are now on screen. Votes for, 185,359,358. Votes open, 284,706. Votes against, 35,880,873. Votes abstaining, 1,112,041. That concludes the formal business for the AGM. We've now come to the end of the formal items of business. Please ensure that you've submitted your votes online using your online voting card if you've not already done so. Shareholders are reminded that they can submit their vote online up until 5 minutes after the meeting closes. The results of the poll will be announced to the ASX as soon as practicable after the meeting. On behalf of the board, I'd like to thank you for your attendance and participating online today. Thank you for your interest in the company, and we look forward to your ongoing support. Please stay safe, and I wish you all the very best of health, and I'm hopeful that we will have the opportunity to meet with you face-to-face at the AGM in 2022, me as a shareholder. That does bring proceedings to an end, and I now declare the meeting closed. I'll now hand over to Paul for his presentation, after which shareholders are invited to ask general questions about the business and management of the company. Paul will cover the performance of the company and its progress over the last 12 months, after which we'll consider any questions. And over to you, Paul.
Thank you very much, Bevan. And again, I offer my thanks to Bevan's long journey with Superloop and wish him all the very best for the next challenges that he puts his time to. So I'm going to cover the recap of our FY21. We have covered this, obviously, in the full year results, so I'll do it reasonably briefly and then give a flavour of how we've been trading today in FY22. So if we jump to the slide number 30 in your pack, Words like strategically transformational are obviously way overused in our industry, but actually I think they are very appropriate to FY21 very appropriate for Superloop in FY21. So at the start of the financial year, we put in place between the executive of the business and the board a plan we called our accelerated growth strategy. And we put it in place at the start of the year, and I'm very pleased with how we traded during that year. So the strategy was all around leveraging our assets, our competitive advantage, but leveraging those assets in markets of scale. So we decided where we wanted to play, and those segments that we wanted to play in were our consumer segment, our business segment, and our wholesale segment. We believed they were substantial markets where we were underrepresented and we could really grow the business in those segments. So we wanted to win and retain share, as you would imagine, within each of those segments. Having had success in the marketplace, of course, we want to see that flow through the P&L and see an acceleration of the EBITDA of the business, and hence creation of shareholder value. In addition to the organic strategy, which is our primary mechanism for growth, we wanted to consider inorganic opportunities. We wanted to consider, could we accelerate our growth strategy with appropriate M&A? But not just buying businesses, we also wanted to look at the way capital was employed across the business and really run a lens over, was it being employed in the most productive manner, or was there an opportunity to recycle some of the capital that was in the business into more appropriate places and create more opportunities for growth? And of course, to do all that, we needed the right people. We needed to attract the right talent into the organisation, both at the executive level and within the organisation as a whole. And we wanted to retain that talent so that we could execute the strategy above. So that was the accelerated growth strategy that we embarked on at the start of the financial year. And if we move to the next slide, slide 31, this is a little bit of a scorecard of how it went. So if we start with the EBITDA, I believe it's very clear that it's a really good scorecard. So on a reported basis, a 35% increase in EBITDA year on year is obviously a great outcome. But the reported increase of 35% doesn't really tell the story. The real story is the more than doubling of the underlying EBITDA in the business, 108% increase year on year in the underlying EBITDA. The difference between the reported EBITDA and the underlying EBITDA is simply excluding the run-out business, the discontinued managed service business from the calculation. So a more than doubling of the underlying EBITDA in the business, clearly an extremely strong result. If we then look within our connectivity segment, where we really were trying to continue the great momentum that was in there, a 22% year-on-year growth in revenue in the connectivity segment, pretty compelling result. We're quite happy with that. I touch on the consumer segment, a 69% year-on-year increase in the revenue associated with the consumer segment. Again, very profound result there. On the CapEx side, we managed to deliver the above results within the capital envelope, actually well within the capital envelope. We had guided some $20 million capital envelope for the year. We actually didn't need to spend the $20 million. We managed to contain it to within just under $15 million of CapEx. And obviously the balance sheet ended the year in an extremely strong position with a pro forma leverage ratio of 1.4 times. So I would argue that against the strategy that we set in the start of FY21, the scorecard was really quite profound at the end of the financial year. I know that's not new. We did touch on all of that in the full year results, so I won't about our trading performance so far in FY22. So I'm on slide 31 now. So notwithstanding all the moving parts in the business with M&A, with COVID, with the reorienting of some elements of the business, we actually have been trading really well. I'm quite satisfied with how we've been trading into FY22. Another thing I really like about where we are now is we have a clean P&L now that the managed service business has been removed from the P&L completely. We have a simplified business, and that's allowed us to really keep to reinforce focus on the core elements of our business, and that all segments of our business are growing strongly organically. So we jump to slide 33. I'll touch on the connectivity segment. Connectivity is a summation of our business and wholesale segments. In the future, we are looking at how we can give more transparency here, and we'll come back on that with a potential further explanation around how those segments fit together. But the connectivity reportable segment here is something we've been speaking to for a while. So this is how we've been trading to date. Clearly, under the sales momentum logos here, there are some great new logos. This is just a sample set, of course, but it's an example of the sort of companies that we are being successful with. Either new logos, and I think in the full year we mentioned that we had in Q1 signed up organisations like Telair and BureauServe, which are new logos to Superloop. There are expansion contracts in here. There are some renewals in here, we're being successful with some really tier-one organisations. I take as an example NRMA as a new logo to Superloop, who entrusted a large chunk of their data network to Superloop. So great momentum there on the sales side. And what does that mean from a revenue perspective in Q1? Well, clearly, if you layer in Exetel, the growth is really strong. But let's look at on a like-for-like basis first. So if we compare Q1 FY22 to Q1 FY21 on a like-for-like basis, so just the underlying Superloop business on its own, you can see that we have grown by some 19%. Great growth there on the connectivity segment. You then layer in Exetel, and of course this is only the 2 months of Exetel that were included within FY22 as we closed at the end of July. You can see that against the corresponding period in FY21, a 67% year-on-year growth in the connectivity segment. Really, really profound growth as you can see there. So very happy with the way the connectivity segment has been trading in the year to date. I touch on the broadband segment. It's actually a very similar story with even more aggressive growth rates. So again, if I start with the like-for-like analysis, so looking at just the Superloop brand on a corresponding period basis, we see that we have grown the revenue we've grown the revenue some 72% on a like-for-like basis. If we then layer in the purchase of Exetel and the 2 months of trading within Exetel, clearly it's closer to 300% growth against the corresponding period. Great momentum in the business. But I don't want to suggest that all of the momentum and the growth is coming from M&A activities. It's not. It's very much building on the great underlying organic growth that's within the business. So very happy with the way the broadband segment is also performing. Slide 35. One of the biggest things that happened in the first quarter of the financial year, of course, was the completion of the acquisition of Exetel. And a lot of what made the Exetel transaction so accretive to Superloop was the promise of synergies of putting the two businesses together. So we did a lot of preparation prior to close of the transaction, so much preparation, in fact, that the first services went live on the Superloop network within 4 days of completion. So obviously, great progress there in terms of getting ready. But that's only part of the story. Perhaps the bigger part of the story is that we materially completed the migration of all services onto the Superloop network by the 30th of September. So that's actually running ahead of the plan that we set out for the migration of services onto our network. One of the things we were very concerned about during that migration, because it's actually the largest migration between RSPs that has ever happened in Australia on the NBN, was that event would trigger a churn event, that uncontracted base would have a disruption it would be disturbed for whatever reason, and that would trigger churn. So we were very sensitized to that, tracking it. We had an enormous amount of focus on ensuring there were the right kid gloves wrapped around the transition. I was very pleased to see that there was no change in the underlying churn rates or the historical churn rates as we went through the transition. So we're very happy with that. There was a lot of preparation, a lot of hard work from all of our engineering teams, both within the Superloop business and within the historical Exetel business. I'm very grateful to the team for the care they showed during that transition. Other notable items, other items of progress in Exetel is we have relaunched the mobile offering with Exetel, now on the Telstra mobile network. That was launched on the 20th of August. And we, of course, enabled the high-speed tiers, the NBN high-speed tiers on the Superloop, under the Exetel brand on the Superloop network from the 1st of September. That was one of the things that were most anticipated from the Exetel base and not previously available from the previous supplier. So we're very happy with the way the Exetel transaction has proceeded. The vast bulk of the migration and integration is now complete, and we are now seeing the fruits of that transaction and really bearing out the industrial logic of the acquisition, which is to be highly accretive across all financial metrics for Superloop. We jump on to the next slide, whilst not in Q1, but within the year to date, of course, the other major milestone was the monetisation of our Hong Kong business and certain assets in Singapore. So we have been flagging to the market for quite some time that we were not satisfied with the return that we were getting on the investment in Hong Kong in particular, and that we were undertaking a process to look at how we could better monetise the capital that we had invested in that market. We undertook a process. We have explored a lot of different options, different scenarios ranging from doubling down on investment through to the transaction that we ended up with, which was a disposal of Hong Kong entirety and then certain select assets in or domestic assets in Singapore. And we landed on this particular transaction as the most generative of shareholder value of all the options that were presented. We're very happy with the engagement with the purchaser, a partnership between Columbia Capital and Digital Bridge, really a tier one player in this industry. Very happy not just with the purchase price that was paid, but also the ongoing partnership and the business relationship we're going to have into the future. So the purchase price represented a 30% markup on the carrying value of the assets, so obviously a great return on the investment that we've made in those markets. That $140 million gross value was comprised of $125 million in cash and a $15 million buyback of fibre or capacity on those networks into the future. So that capacity we've purchased back in the form of an IRU allows us to continue to have the capability to service those markets, both on the existing network as we sold it, but also on the future network that Columbia Capital and Digital Bridge will be building out into the future. And that allows us to carry traffic from our subsea systems, Indigo and other subsea capacity that we have around the region, to any data centre in those two markets, which is really the capability that we had established, and we didn't want to lose that through this transaction. So we're very happy that we've retained that capability into the future. But another element of the strategy that we are quite happy with is that we've got a channel partnership with Colcap and Digital Bridge into the future, where they will also with some commercial incentives, drive traffic onto our Indigo system. In fact, they also have the ability to sell capacity on our Indigo system, and that partnership is something that we think will be highly valuable into the future. That's left us with a lot of capital that we've recovered, or will when the transaction completes at the end of the year, leave us with a lot of capital that we've recovered. We are going to have a review of our optimal capital structure led by our CFO, Luke, who's here with us in the room. We want to take our time in undertaking that review. There are a range of options that we are considering with that excess capital, ranging from employment in our business through to potential war chest for M&A through to potential capital returns. And we're going to work through what is the optimum capital structure for the business, and we'll communicate the outcome of that review in the half-year results in February. So great transaction, very happy with the way that positioned the business for the future. So the next slide is an outlook for FY22. We've had a lot of requests to give some guidance for the year, and I'm pleased that we're at a point in our business where we have the predictability, the earnings quality to be able to give that guidance, notwithstanding global pandemics and lots of moving parts in the business. So this is a little bit of a complicated chart to follow. So if I just start at the top and look at, had the Singapore and Hong Kong transactions not happened, where did we see our operating performance for the year? And where we've ended up is actually 100% in line with the consensus research that's been following us. So we saw a full year EBITDA outcome for FY22 in the range of $30 to $32 million of EBITDA. So then we need to layer in the impact of the disposal of Hong Kong and the domestic assets in Singapore. And the impact of that is that in year, we'll see some $2 million of EBITDA going away. And that would leave us with a net position there, or net range there, of between $28 and $30 million, actually slightly ahead of where the research predicted that we would be. With the proceeds that we're recovering from that market, we've taken the decision that one of the things we want to do with a small part of those proceeds is we want to invest in our business. We believe the best return we can get on any capital is actually to put it into our business, which is growing so well. So we're going to take $5 million in proceeds and invest that in a one-off way into acceleration of our business, primarily into marketing of our broadband business, some other things, but primarily that. It's not a structural increase in our cost base. It really is an investment in growth that we're going to reinvest a small portion of the proceeds we've received from that windfall sale, if you like. And so that will leave us with an underlying EBITDA for FY22 in the range of $23 to $25 million, noting the $5 million investment that we're going to make in accelerating our growth, and we'll see the returns of that come in FY23. Layering further into this, we obviously have a write-up of the value of the assets, given we sold at a 30% premium, so that's a $32 million gain that goes into the net EBITDA outcome. We have certain transaction costs for both the Exetel transaction and Hong Kong, and that leaves the bottom line here, which is a reported EBITDA expected in the range of $48 to $50 million. So we're very pleased with where this leaves us from a trading perspective. We're pleased that the underlying business is performing at or above the level that the market has expected. We're pleased that we have the confidence and predictability in the business to be able to give guidance where many companies are unable to do that in the current environment. So with the improvement in the earnings quality, we do see a strong EBITDA outlook for the year. Okay, so the final point I wanted to make is that we recognise that the monetisation of the excess capacity that we had in Singapore and Hong Kong is an important moment in the history of Superloop. And we want to give investors an opportunity to really understand in a bit more detail the strategy of the company from here, as we are obviously a more domestically focused company going forward. So we're going to hold an investor day on the 11th of November, where you'll hear from me and a number of the other executives in the business. We will set out the strategy of the organisation. We'll set out the strategy of each of our customer segments and why we believe that we're participating in markets of substantial upside and why we believe we're positioned to really take advantage of that upside. So I would invite you all to join us on the 11th of November. There will be details that will be sent out to shareholders where how you can participate in that. It will be a combination of physical and virtual opportunity to participate. And I look forward to welcoming you to hear about our refreshed strategy on the 11th of November. So I've touched on our FY21 performance, I've touched on our FY22 outlook, and that we'll come back and give more detail on the strategy. Once again, I'd really like to thank Bevan for all he's done for Superloop over the years. I'd like to welcome Peter to the business from the 2nd of November onwards. And with that, I'm conclude my remarks, and we're available for questions.
Okay, thank you, Paul. I'd now like to take the time to address any general questions that have been asked of our shareholders and the board of Superloop's management team. Any questions, you've lodged their questions to the virtual meeting platform?
Yes, Chair, there are two questions lodged for the virtual meeting platform. I know both of these questions were lodged at the end of September. The first question is a general question relating to the prospects for improvements in both profitability and share price for Superloop.
Perfect. I might even hand it back to Paul, seeing he's the CEO and be pushing this forward in FY 22 and 23.
I'm very happy. Look, I'm very happy with the way the profitability of the business is improving. With every time we report, we're hitting the guidance that we're giving. Obviously, we're a capital-heavy business that has depreciation, and so at an NPAT level, yes, the depreciation has still left us with a reported loss at the bottom line level. That will obviously be closed as we increase the EBITDA in the business and the depreciation narrows, and it's inevitable that we get to an NPAT positive level. But I think the real proxy is the trajectory of the EBITDA, which is clearly growing very quickly, and I think leaves us in a good, comfortable position. Where that leaves share price, that's not something I think is really for us to opine on. We are very focused on our underlying business. We are not in the business of trying to buy growth because we're trying to mask underlying organic growth not being in the business. It is there. We're focused on doing good business, making sure that our business is sustainable, and I believe the market will recognise the fundamentals that are in Superloop in time to come.
The second question relates to whether consideration has been given to offering shareholders discounts as an incentive to subscribe to the home broadband offering.
I presume that's for me as well, Bevan. That is something we're exploring at the moment, but I have nothing to confirm on this just at the moment.
I'm certainly pretty excited to have that happen sometime post-Tuesday. Thank you, Paul. Look, as there are no further questions from the virtual meeting platform, I'd like to thank all our shareholders for all their questions put forward today. It brings the end of Superloop's 2021 annual general meeting. As mentioned earlier, the results of the voting will be released to the ASX and published on our website once those votes have been counted after this meeting. I thank you all for taking the time to attend and participate in the AGM, and I want to thank all the team, the staff, the board, and our customers and our shareholders for the journey. And really excited and looking forward to FY22 and beyond. Thank you, everyone.